What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 2 of Processing with MJ Upchurch. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of this journey. At the end of the day, all we can do is be here to support each other. And that's all that this platform is here to do, is potentially for me to pour into you guys and hopefully tell you guys what God's been telling me. So today we have a very, very special episode and a very, very special guest that is nearest and dearest to my heart than any other on this in this world. I'm not gonna give her no long crazy introduction. She is my wife. That's all there is to be said for real. I'm a lucky man, as you can see. This is Patrice, now Upchurch, longer Patrice Roberts. I love it.
Hey, y'all.
So tell people who you are.
Yeah, like MJ said, I am Patrice Upchurch, his lovely wife. For Processing, I am the co-host / producer. But outside of that, I am a financial analyst for a real estate company. And I also have my own business called Patrice's Perspective, where I help basically build small businesses, help them with social media, and just getting started. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
She does it all. She is not a one-trick pony. She's a jack of all trades, for real. Before we get any of the real conversation going, let's pray first. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to see you and everything around us. I pray you use this platform, you use our words to edify and uplift the person on the other side of this screen. I pray that you meet them in their needs and show yourself to them in an extremely real way. And let this platform, this podcast, be a catalyst for change in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're probably just going to run through basically your whole life and then into our life together, essentially.
Okay.
We talk a lot to each other just about everything. So, yeah, we in the crib right now, so we just going to chop it up the same way we usually chop it up. Might be some things that we didn't plan on talking about. I'm sure it will be. Probably some really hard conversations, but we like to challenge each other at the end of the day. So, First things first, walk me through how God has revealed himself to you throughout your life.
Yeah. It's a very interesting question. So I was born in Detroit, Michigan. When I was 4, my parents moved to Atlanta, Georgia, just to give a better life for me and then my sister, who came 2 years after that. If you know anything about Detroit, it explains itself why they wanted to move and get us into better areas with a better education system so that we could have better opportunities. So they did that. We first moved to Atlanta. Of course, they were young and still building their life, so we weren't necessarily in the best of areas, and that came with some different things. And me being in those environments is actually how I encountered God for the first time. When I was 8, I was at home with my mom and my sister. It was probably like 9 o'clock at night, and my dad was out at work. And it's crazy because, as I say it, I can remember vividly what was occurring. I was in bed watching Cheetah Girls 3. I think it was actually like the first day that it premiered too.
Wow.
But I heard a voice, and because it wasn't Cheetah Girls because of what was said, but it was, I heard a voice in my head say, "Something is about to happen and it's going to be okay." And that was the last thing I remember before falling asleep. And the next thing I heard was 3 hours later, my mom started screaming, because she got a phone call that my dad was shot. So we rushed to the hospital. He was shot on his way home from work. It was a robbery. And he walked to, I believe it was like a corner store or a gas station or something. And then the people at the gas station were able to call the ambulance and everything. And everything ended up being okay. I don't believe that they got the bullet out his arm, but he is still alive today by the grace of God. That was my first encounter with God. And I was obviously 8, so I didn't know what that meant. Up until actually when I went to college. So before I even get to that, growing up, I didn't really go to church except for like maybe once on Easter and when my grandmother came to visit us in Georgia. But other than that, I didn't really go to church that much up until high school, actually, when I met you. And we'll get to our story of how we met each other later. I started going to church with him and his family, and it was a very Baptist church. So did I learn anything?
Hold on. This disclaimer. Well, that's not no shots at Baptist church in general.
It's not a shot.
That church, however, there was very little teaching being told. But yeah, we not disregarding any one denomination or anything above anybody else.
Yeah, not that at all. But this particular Baptist church.
For sure.
There wasn't any teaching. I was in the room. That was that. So I think from there I did get curious about Christianity in general. Had the Bible app, so was obviously reading the verse of the day and doing Bible plans. Then once I went to college, I went to school in New Orleans, and as I started making friends freshman year, I started going to church with my friends, and we would go to a church in Baton Rouge called All Nations. They have a few different like branches throughout the United States, but we went to the location in Baton Rouge. So yeah, we would drive an hour every Sunday to go to church together.
Wow.
Yeah, which was really cool for that to be, you know, my experience first coming into college.
Yeah, that's really, really dope. I gotta highlight that real quick because college students having as much freedom as you have when you're entering basically sort of adult life for the first time, you're outside of the house and deciding that you guys were gonna spend your Sunday mornings not sleeping in, not getting brunch, but traveling an hour to go hear from God, essentially. That's amazing. I just had to big up you and your friends there. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was definitely a good thing that we did. What happened on Saturday night was different.
Yeah.
But
you were still in college. We done all been and done and seen some things in college. It's a new place. God, you know, puts the light in the darkness. So that's why you was there.
Yeah. We'll get more into that. But the first time we went to All Nations in Baton Rouge, it was during worship, and This Is a Move by Brandon Lake came on. Never had heard that song before, but during that song, God spoke to me again and reminded me of when I was 8, and I heard, that was me, that was the voice you heard when you were 8. And if you hear from the Creator, you're going to cry. I was just crying through that whole service. And that was, I feel like that kind of jump-started my faith a little bit. Continued going to church. There wasn't a lot of change from that moment. The change came years later, but yeah. Continued going to church throughout my freshman year. Then March of 2020 happened, and we all know that was COVID. So moved back home to Georgia for the summer and was in the house during quarantine, but was still curious. I was jumping around the Bible. I actually still have journals from that time. So there was some random Old Testament scripture that I was trying to interpret, and it was all wrong. I think it was Habakkuk 2. Mm-hmm. I think that's the chapter where it talks about write the vision, make it plain. And the interpretation was all wrong, but I was in the Word. Once we went back to New Orleans after quarantine was lifted, I didn't go to church again up until probably 2023. So going into January of 2023, MJ here goes, well, let me go back before that, before I get into that. Even though I wasn't going to church, I was still reading Bible plans, journaling, and I like to think that my faith was very strong during that time. I just needed to be more grounded, and that's when January of 2023 happened. So I think maybe you talked about it in your last podcast about Winter Blast.
I don't think I did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't told y'all my testimony. Tune in for another episode incoming for that, for my entire testimony,
So he has an encounter with God at a conference called Winter Blast, right?
FCA's Winter Blast, Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yeah, in North Carolina. And once he gets back, he tells me about his experience, and we talk through that. And we've been together for 7 years. I realize we haven't talked about how we met yet, but we've been together for 7 years. And
up to that point.
Yeah, up to that point, and we're not going to sugarcoat it. We were not pure during those 7 years. So one of the conversations that we had after his encounter with God was trying to do things in the right way. And there was a few other things, but that was the main one that applied to our relationship. And when you've done something the same way for many years, it's hard to make the adjustment. But luckily for me, I had great friends at the time and still to this day who I told about the conversation, and they kind of helped me through it and told me that I shouldn't have been looking at that in a negative way. Yeah, and after that conversation, I guess I kind of felt like, I was like, well, this is changing. What else is going to change? Because I am an overthinker. God is still working on me with that and all of the anxiousness and worries that come from that. But I think my main focus was, if this one thing is going to change, then everything else is going to change. Mm-hmm. And I am a creature of habit. So that was a hard thing for me to wrap my head around. So yeah, it was just a hard few days after that conversation. Then I'm trying to think, that was long ago now, but yeah, I think it was January 18th. I was in my room journaling, praying to God for clarity on the situation. And I just started crying, writing words in my journal. I don't even know what I wrote, but I was just getting out all of my emotions. And after I finished crying, I walked outside. I think I was home by myself in my like off-campus apartment in college. And I walked outside, and this was the view outside. For those on Spotify and Apple, it's basically a picture of a sunset. And while I was standing outside looking at it, I felt God was speaking to me through that, telling me that it's going to be okay. And that he's going to guide me through the process. And since that moment, he's been guiding me through all of it, strengthening my faith, showing me where I needed to correct myself, because we are all born in sin, and we need a savior to correct that and help us through it and guide us through it. So yeah, that's since January of 2023. I've been on that journey with God, being guided, changed, and now in a position to help other people in that process.
That's amazing. I know that testimony is going to be very powerful and help some people bring change about in their lives, or allow God to move in their lives in ways that they didn't allow him to before. So there was a couple of things you said there, a couple of times you mentioned hearing from God, and that is something that a lot of people struggle with, being able to conceptualize, like, what do you mean you heard from God? Did a sky come from, or did a voice come from the sky or whatever? So yeah, just explain how, at what point you realized it was not from you, or not just from your circumstances or whatever, that you were like, nah, this has to be from something above or beyond me to tell me what's going on around me and how I should move moving forward.
I think the first time, like me being eight in a room by myself, and it being like something referencing the future, like that, there's no way that I could have known that something bad was going to happen. So I think that was the first thing for me, like, God is all knowing and outside of time, so therefore he would know something like that. Yeah, I was eight. How was I gonna know that?
Exactly.
And the second time in church during the worship song, when things, specifically traumatic things, happen to me, I disconnect and forget about it. So that situation from when I was eight, I hadn't thought about it at that time of being in church. I was 18. So being reminded of something that I suppressed, I feel like that's also evident of it not being me. And then in January of 2023, me being very anxious and looking at everything that was wrong, to hear something that was the complete opposite of what I was thinking, was also evident. So I guess to sum it all together, I think part of it is knowing, kind of self-awareness. So I know my thought patterns. I know that I lean more to being anxious and worrying. So whenever I hear something that's the exact opposite, something more positive, hopeful. I believe that it's hearing from God, because it's way opposite from what my normal thinking pattern is.
Okay. So yeah, having an awareness of how you usually process the world around you allowed you to recognize when a process that was probably healthier, but still very different from what you usually did. Yeah. So is it the same way now? Like, those were experiences back then, obviously, and now you spend more time in the Word and in prayer. So do you hear from God in the same way, or is it in a different way? And how do you decipher between what could be your own thoughts and what could be words from God?
It's a really good question. I think it's still the same way. I think now, because I know the Word a little bit more, I see it more in there. Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you have these thoughts that are kind of, maybe it's in the middle where it's like, it could be you, it could be just a random something else, but because the Word is able to decide between the final voice.
Yeah, it's confirmation.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's able to delineate between the options for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I want to circle back to one thing you mentioned. We're not going to get yet into the story of how we met and our early relationship and stuff, but you said when we had the shift in our lives, when Jesus met me and then had me, essentially, I guess, confront you about our participation in sin.
That's what you're about.
You said that we essentially just had to make a change and we had to do things differently. I wanted to highlight that because for me, it was the clock was ticking type thing, because I knew we were coming up on graduation and the plan for us was to move in together. Mm-hmm. And if we moved in together, the sin was going to continue.
Yeah.
So we had to basically set parameters in place and draw lines in the sand and say these things can't happen. But I want to mention also, we had tried before to not, like, many times. Yeah. We said that we were never going to again and never had it. But this time, for whatever reason, it was different and it did stick.
So it wasn't, it was no longer our plans. We, mm-hmm. well, you started off opening up the door to God to come in and be Lord over your life. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the difference, because back then we were doing it in our own strength, which we know from scripture, if we try to do it in our strength, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And like, we're a living testimony to what it's like to do something before God, mm-hmm. and after God, and see how after God actually panned out to be the right thing and for it to actually like happen.
Yeah, absolutely. With that, I just want to highlight, and I know you're going to echo it, that it's never too late to change, because that's what I felt like God was telling me, because it would have been too late had we got married and never stopped beforehand. Yeah. It would have been like, we never honored God with our bodies before getting married in the order that we were supposed to, but he, in his grace and mercy, allowed us to see the full depth of what we were doing and how it was hurting him.
Yeah.
And he then gave us the strength to not be able to do those things anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just amazing. And word of encouragement to the listeners, whatever you're going through, whatever that vice is, that habit, that addiction, it's not too late to stop. Don't feel like you're too far gone. Don't feel like you're too deep. It's never too late to stop. God is ready for you to stop right now. He's ready for you to stop whenever he calls you. But don't let it get to the point that it is too late. And you never know when too late is too late. Yeah. All right, anywho, off my soapbox on that.
No, that was good. Yeah. Like, I think people, I forgot which scripture it is. I think it might be Ephesians 2, but Ephesians 2:1 says you were dead. In your trespasses. So you don't feel it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think when you've been doing something for so long and you finally recognize that it's wrong, you only focus on the fact of how long you've been doing it, so you can't see forward. So I think that that's a good message to people, that no matter how far deep into it, we have a God that has allowed us to overcome that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to mention.
That's fact. Absolutely. You mentioned in that same last piece that what was the catalyst for us to change was me allowing God to be the Lord over Jesus to be the Lord over my life. How important is it for women today to seek a man who is submitted to Jesus? And having seen me before and after that, this is not to boost me, but obviously this is your experience in our relationship. Yeah. How have you seen the difference, basically? How has Jesus being my Lord changed how I've responded to this relationship and thus how you've responded to me?
Yeah, I think how the structure of any relationship should be your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, husband, wife. Mm-hmm. That's the first person that you go to when you're making a decision. Well, we should be going to God first and then our significant other. But after that, we are going to our significant other. And if you are with somebody who isn't wise and isn't seeking wisdom from God, they're going to steer you in the wrong direction. And I think it's vice versa. Like, if I know the question is you, but also like women too, like you have to be firm in knowledge and faith in your relationship with God, because ultimately we should be speaking from the Spirit. So if we're not, we can guide another person in the wrong direction. And I think that now that you have built your relationship with God, not saying that like I didn't trust your judgment before, but now I know that if I go to you for advice or I need your help making a decision, I know that it's not going to be rooted in anything else but God in the Spirit. And I think that's important because we are partners in this life. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. That was a great chapter one. Chapter two, what I'm sure everybody really wants to hear. For those who don't know the story, how we met, how we started dating, and probably the proposal too. And then probably the wedding too. So yeah, you go ahead and start it and I'll hop in.
The drama. It's just a bunch of drama.
Yeah, we was at high school, man. In high school, yeah. It's all drama. The whole thing.
Anyway. Yeah, but we met in, at the beginning of 2016, our freshman year of, the end of our freshman year of high school, because we had a mutual friend at the time. And we kind of just knew each other and were around each other. End of freshman year, that's May 2016. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I just knew that during that summer, I just knew that I was done with men. I was not getting into a relationship with anybody. Like, I actually called my Nana and we had a whole conversation about like men and stuff. And I was like, yeah, she was telling me not to date. And I was like, no, I don't want to. I really don't want to date anybody.
For those listening on Spotify and Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, my face is dumbfounded right now.
Yeah.
I've never heard this. This is a
podcast exclusive.
But, I don't know what calling it.
But it's been so long.
This is a podcast exclusive right here.
But yeah, I didn't want to date because the drama that came with that being in high school. I'm not going to disclose where we went to high school, but
yeah, for sure.
If you live in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. It's not too big. It's not that big. Okay,
well, that's it. You don't live there no more. But if you know anything about high schools in that area, pick your choice.
Yeah.
And we probably went to that school, and there's just nothing but drama. So I just knew I didn't want to be in relationships with anybody getting into mess and drama and stuff.
And to clarify why there was drama to begin with, when we met at the end of our freshman year, I was with somebody else. So.
Yeah, we get there.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that from the beginning. So literally when we met, there
but
was
yeah,
no
I was talking about like my own individual drama with people and stuff before going into that. But,
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, fast forward to August of 2016, started of our sophomore year. We had a class together. It was a literature class. So I was seeing him around more often. And some random day in August, one of my friends, the mutual friend that we had, she came up to me and she was like, what do you think about my brother, MJ? I was like, he cute, but he don't like me. So if that's what you about to talk about, then stop.
Why did you assume I didn't like you?
And I was just about to say that was my own insecurity at the time. That I didn't believe I was worthy, attractive, or whatever. But she was like, no, like, he thinks you're cute and he wants to talk to you. Do you want me to give him your kick? That's how old this is.
For all the young folk out there, that's K-I-K. It was a instant messaging app that we elderly dinosaurs used to use to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, because none of us had real phones. A lot of us had iPods and stuff, but kick was downloadable. And you could still get somebody kick and text them and stuff. So
Yeah.
So I didn't say, let me get your number. Let me slide in the DMs. Let me get your snap. I said, let me get your kick.
Yeah. So I was like, you can give him my kick because, yeah, my phone was off and all types of things.
I didn't even have a phone at the time, I don't think.
Yes, you did.
I did. I thought I had an iPhone.
No, I had an iPhone.
It was a phone. That's
right. Yeah, but my phone was off occasionally. So I was like, don't give him my number. Anyways, he texted me on Kick. And yeah, we were just texting, getting along and stuff, having good conversation. And I think that was about 2 weeks. And we had class together. So, did you start sitting by me? No, you didn't start sitting by me in class.
I did that semester. I don't know if it was like
yeah, no, early. Not early on, is what
okay.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think occasionally I would sit with him at lunch because we had the same lunch that semester. So I think it was actually your birthday.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was your birthday. And I remember this. We had a substitute in the literature class. So we were sitting wherever we wanted. So I ended up sitting by you and I was on your phone taking pictures and videos on Snapchat. And he posted me on Snapchat and his ex-girlfriend's friends still had him on Snapchat. So they, this was like probably like 9 o'clock in the morning when you posted it. I guess people was on their phone throughout the day. They saw it. We had lunch at like 12:30 and I was in line with one of my friends getting something for lunch. And somebody comes up to me and it's like, are you with MJ? And I said, why? Why do you want to know? Because, okay, it had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with you. And if you're watching on YouTube, you see my face. And I'm still, like, irritated and annoyed. Because my personality, I don't like people in my business. I don't like talking to people. So if somebody walking from the other side of the cafeteria up to me to ask me if I'm with somebody, like, why do you want to know? And the person was like, well, I'm just asking because I saw something on Snapchat. And I was like, well, why are you asking? Like, where is it coming from?
Yeah.
So she didn't want to answer my question. And I started looking around and I saw a group of girls staring at me. So I was like, okay, I know what this is. So I went up to him and this is back when I wasn't safe. So I was just like, you need to get your ex-girlfriend. Like, y'all need to figure it out. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was just like, well, she got her friends trying to inquire about me or whatever. So, yeah, that was 12 o'clock, whatever. We get out of school like 3:30. I go home. I'm just sitting in my living room watching TV thinking, it's a Friday. I'm thinking I might have a good weekend. I'm about to be in the house watching YouTube and Netflix. I get on my phone. I go on Snapchat. And it was very crazy because at the time I never watched Snapchats with the volume on, but I just turned the volume on, this one. And it was his ex-girlfriend and I'm not going to say the words that she said.
Can't do that.
But yeah, she was calling.
Calling Patrice out of her name.
Yeah. And I didn't know it was me until I kept watching more and more videos. Cause it's like 90 seconds of her talking. And then I started to catch on, oh, she's talking about me. So yeah, I didn't respond. I didn't swipe up and say anything because I didn't care because like, I knew her, we had classes together, but like, I just didn't think it was that big of an issue. Then I watched his Snapchat and they start arguing, like subtweeting each other on Snapchat.
The funny thing was I was doing what I was doing on Snapchat, but I had her removed from Snapchat. So I didn't even see what she was doing. I was just being messy, honestly, is what it was. I was just being messy, just to be messy.
But somebody was sending it because she was like responding directly to.
Yeah, somebody was sending it from me to her. But
yeah,
I never that. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So that was going on. I never engaged because we weren't dating at the time. We were just talking.
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever you got going on with your previous person, I have nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm gonna save the in between details because it was a lot. But the next day she ended up reaching out to me and apologizing. And yeah, we just kind of went on from there. I believe it was the next week after we went on a date to a skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a date to a skating
you
rink.
You said the county now. Everybody know what the skating rink is.
No,
in the
you don't. Why are we still talking? Because we could have went to a Cascade.
Okay.
Anyways.
Who was that Cascade?
Anyways, he asked me out. I said yes. And yeah, that was us in high school. Mm-hmm. Senior year of high school comes around, you know, people applying to college, figuring out what they want to do.
Let me pause right there real quick, just to go back to this skating rink thing when I asked you to be my girlfriend.
Okay, let's hear your perspective.
Patrice, the one I knew she had feelings for me was when we had that first date. Actually, was that the very first one? I thought we went to, okay, that was the very first one, right? Patrice can't roller skate.
Okay.
I asked her on a date to a roller skating rink, and she said yes. I knew I was in there. Anyway.
Together through all of, from sophomore year to senior year rolls around, I knew I wanted to go to school in a big city, and I knew I didn't want to be in the state of Georgia. It was time to experience something else, and he was applying to school specifically for soccer, and yeah, that's a whole different process than me applying to schools, so we were trying to align and go to the same school, but it ended up not working out. I went to school in New Orleans. He ended up going to school in Georgia and transferring to North Carolina. So we were long distance for all 4 years the first freshman year of college, first semester, I took a 13-hour train ride from Louisiana to Georgia, and then a 2-hour car ride from Georgia, from the train station in Georgia to the school that he was going to in Georgia.
13 hours.
Yeah.
She was committed to come see
him. Yeah. And I'm trying to think. The next time that semester we saw each other was Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it ended up being for the next 4 years that probably 3 times during the school year I was flying to wherever his school was to visit him. And yeah, we talked about January 2023. That was our senior year of college. So we talked about that whole thing. And we got engaged in April 2023. Mm-hmm. You have to tell the beginning part because I was clueless.
Yeah. So, clueless. All right. Rewind a little bit to December 2022.
Yeah. Oh, when I flew to Maryland for Christmas. Because I felt like at that point we needed to start spending holidays together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I flew to DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my folks in the DMV. I was born and raised in PG. But yeah, family all over the place. And we were at my mom's house, and she just asked basically what our plan was for after graduation, with graduation being 6 months away, and told her the plan that we were planning on moving in together. I, at the time, had basically decided that I was going to do grad school to continue playing and to also get my master's. And first of all, prayer works and prayer answered, because I'm currently in my master's program. Hallelujah, glory to God for that.
Yeah.
But I told her the plan, and she just kind of says, okay, cool, type stuff. Like, we got a plan, we got our heads on straight, kind of move forward, trying to start our real life the right way, or in what we thought was the right way. And I get back to school from after winter break in January, and I was getting ready to play poker with my teammates, and my mom called me. I was like, hold on, y'all, my mom called me, because I'm like scared about talking about calling my mom. You know, my mom was lit. So yeah, I talked to her, and she was like, hey, I was just thinking about you and Patrice. This is like a couple days later. She says, I was thinking about you and Patrice's plan for the future and stuff.
That's weeks later.
Was it? Yeah, no. I thought we saw it right before we left.
I think it was like a week later.
It was probably a week. Yeah. So yeah, about a week later, she calls me and says, I was thinking about y'all plan, and I just want to make sure y'all are doing things the right way before God. And this is before me and Patrice are actual believers, for real. Like, we went to church and we know about God. We were churchgoers. That's all it was. And yeah, she said that. And I'm like, what you mean before God? What that even mean? So she says, you know, y'all plan on moving in together, and you haven't said nothing about marriage before that. And obviously, being in living together is not a sin necessarily, but being in that close proximity with no real accountability will put you in a irresponsible position to lead potentially to sin. So I heard her loud and clear with that. I was like, huh? And immediately, kind of hearing from God type of thing. It was, I guess I'm proposing then, because we had done 4 years long distance, like we said, and I wasn't doing long distance no more. It was done for that. So I was like, all right, we're moving in together in July, August, whatever. So I have to propose before then. And these are just the facts that were like coming to me. And I had never thought about it like when it was going to happen. I actually told her we weren't going to get married until I was probably like 25. So in her head, we're not getting married for another 5-6 years. So I start talking to my mom, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm proposing. And she says, well, I'm not trying to force you anything. I'm like, no, you're just right. So I guess this is what has to happen.
Because
so,
we were already planning to get married eventually.
So we had always talked about marriage.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to marry this person. That was always the plan. It was just a matter of finances and when.
That was the hard part because, it became really real when I was like, I have to propose in this time period now, and it's here, basically. So I have to start looking into rings and setting up a proposal situation. I obviously want it to be a whole moment for her. And I am talking to my mom. Actually, no. At that time, I was a student athlete, and I had a job on campus, but it wasn't getting too much. I was like, money is mad tight. We're preparing for real life. And we just don't have it. And she actually is the one that started the conversation at this point for her birthday. Mm-hmm. And she was like, look, I know money is real tight. You don't have to give me enough for my birthday. I just want to see you, obviously. So in my head, like instantly, I was like, ooh, I know what to do. So she doesn't know I'm planning on proposing to her. So I said, all right, here's my gift to you. Let me plan your birthday dinner, right?
Yeah.
As my gift.
I wanted to celebrate my birthday in Atlanta that year because I got tired of Louisiana. I just wanted to be home for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And initially, like, it was supposed to be a birthday trip. So all of my friends from college were supposed to come with me to Atlanta for my birthday. But it was all our senior year. Stuff didn't work out. But I was like, I'm still going home for my birthday. I don't want to be here. So that's where the birthday dinner was.
Yeah, so she's just thinking it's a birthday dinner. Meanwhile, I'm behind the scenes. I call her dad. That's the scariest conversation I've ever had in my life on the phone. And I'm going to go ahead and say what I said and what he said. I texted him, right? And I said, can I call you when you get a chance? Or can you call me when you get a chance? And he said, yeah, I'll call you in a little bit. And hours passed by that day. So the whole day, I'm just sitting anxious trying to think about this conversation in my head. So he calls me, and I tell him, I get straight to it, basically. And I'm like, I wanted to ask for your blessing to propose to Patrice. And his response is, oh. I said, I'm on the phone, like, I'm sorry. Oh, you mean, okay. He immediately then said, I can't imagine someone else to, you know, take my daughter's hand in marriage. So I was like, massive weight lifted off my shoulders. That was incredible. So that's in motion, and I'm inviting family and friends that's back home in Atlanta to come to the birthday dinner. And yeah, we're having dinner and having a great, oh no, let me slow down. The day before, we're going to get dinner, just us two, and we're walking around Atlanta. We had went somewhere, but the place was like dumb expensive, and the weight more than it was expensive.
Yes.
The weight was crazy. Yeah. I don't even remember what
it was something in Midtown because you were actually going to meet up with your brother.
Yes.
And that should have been a red flag to me.
I don't even remember that
one. Yeah, it was a restaurant. It's called Blue Something in Midtown. And you were trying to meet up with him. You were on the phone with him. And he was like, it's just too much.
I was just like, DJ in town this weekend. He's just in town.
Yeah, and I didn't think nothing of it. Because when it comes April, I don't care about nothing else but my birthday. Like, she's the world serious. Can be on fire.
She's dead serious.
And the only thing I care about is that birthday and what's Easter, happening.
And Easter.
Yeah, but Easter be in March sometimes. So.
That's true. Easter be moving. Anyway. Yeah. So, that night we're walking and we're just talking about marriage for some reason. And tell them what you said.
Yeah.
The day before I proposed.
I was like, I don't want nobody to be there. Because I know myself, like, if you're watching me, I'm not going to fully express my emotions because, like, that's weird. Especially with, like, a proposal and stuff, like, my parents there, you want me to kiss you? Like, that's weird. So I was like, I don't want nobody there. But I didn't know that
So yeah, she's saying that, and I'm just nervously laughing because I know what I'm planning the next day. She said, "I'm like, that's crazy. That would be crazy if a lot of people was there." So yeah, I had the birthday dinner. She's literally just thinking it's a birthday dinner. Family and friends there having a great time. At the end of the night, she gets her dessert for the birthday, and before she eats it, I'm kind of bothering her because it's late at night now, honestly.
It's like 10.
It was midnight.
It's like 10 on a Saturday night.
It was midnight.
I don't believe you. It was midnight. I have no proof. I can probably find the original video, yeah. But that's a lot right now.
But yeah, so I was trying to rush because my brother drove from Florida that day, and he was planning on driving right back down to Florida as soon as the dinner ended. So shout out DJ, man. He is an incredible brother. That's my best man. Incredible dude. Anywho. I was trying to, like, not rush, but I was like, all right, let's go ahead and start telling people thank you for coming and stuff so they can feel that it's okay to start to get ready to leave. And she's trying to eat her cake the whole time. She's like, okay, I will after my cake. And I'm like, the cake's still going to be there. She's like, let me finish the cake. And I'm like, all right. I waited a couple seconds, and she's still talking. She barely even eat. Barely eat. Like,
what did
she
say? Favorite part of the story, because I was so irritated.
Like, I was actually getting on her nerves, for real. I was getting on her nerves. I could see it getting irritated, too, but I was like, I don't care, because I know what's coming next. So, it's okay. You can be mad at me later, but you're not going to be. So, we get up, and she's on, like, the left side of the table, and I'm on a bench on the back side. So she gets up and walks around the table. I get up and walk around, but it's taking me longer to get around. She gets around before I do, and she starts talking and just is thanking everybody for coming and stuff and telling them how much we appreciate them. I get around the table. The whole time in my head, I've been planning on how I was going to propose to her. I don't know what that says. the whole time I was reading it and planning on proposing to her, I was planning on being the one I was going to do all the talking. She doesn't usually talk in front of people like that. So I thought she was just going to stand there and wait. But by the time...
Trying to get back to the cake.
Yeah, she was locked in on that cake. But by the time I got around the table, she had already finished saying basically everything I was planning on saying. So I don't even have no words. I was going to do a whole lovey-dovey speech talking about the importance of love and everything being corny. And so she starts walking back to the chair. And I had just got around the table to say something. So I just dropped to my knee. And I was behind her. I thought she was going to see me out of her peripheral vision when she turned around. She just is walking back to the chair. And I think somebody said her, or I said her name.
Yeah, you did.
Because she literally is walking away from me, and I'm just on my knee with the box looking stupid. And everybody else at the table sees me except her. And I say, Patrice, and she turned around. And she just kept saying, that's crazy. And you know, she said, are you for real? And she just kept saying, that's crazy.
Because imagine somebody telling you that they're not proposing to you for another 5 years, and then it just happens. Yeah. Like, what? Are you lying? Like, are you being for real?
I had to do a big one. And people start crying. Her sister, our eyes start watering up. Her mom starts crying. Other people were real emotional and stuff. That was a great experience. We got great pictures. Family and friends did a lot for us to pull that together. And one thing I want to mention to y'all, nobody talks about the awkwardness of when you propose to people. Or when you propose to someone in front of other people, because we proposed and we was having a dinner where everybody was just talking to each other. We sit back down post proposal now and kind of breaking the news to people. Like, I called my mom on FaceTime or something, and everybody at the table just staring at us now.
So if you watching this and you was there or listening, I need you to comment. Why were you quiet?
Yeah, like
why weren't you talking?
You knew why you came here. They all knew. Yeah. Actually,
everybody.
I didn't tell everybody actually.
Really?
I told some people, but I didn't tell everybody. I told my friend group. And DJ and AJ.
Oh, and you didn't tell my mom.
Yeah, I definitely didn't tell your mom. I wanted that to be a surprise.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was the proposal situation. The wedding was, I mean, it's not really even much to say. It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect. We had lots of family and friends be there. Everybody traveled well out of their way to where we live. We only two people.
Mm-hmm.
And their plus ones live in the area where we live. Everybody else traveled a couple hundred miles to come to our wedding. So if you were at the wedding, if you weren't at the wedding and you were supportive in any way, whether it was prayers, words of encouragement, financial gifts, like, we truly appreciate you and we love you so much. Thank you for making our day an incredible day. And we're honeymooning for the rest of our lives now. Our honeymoon never ended. Honeymoon was incredible.
Yeah, we went to San Diego, California. And it was my first time on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And now I want to go back.
Yeah,
why do we live on the East Coast? Like, it's literally like another planet over there. Like, it doesn't feel real.
Hold on. Why is y'all gas $6?
Yeah, that's crazy.
can we do something about that? Like, as a unit, why? I got off the plane and we drive in the rental car, and the first gas station we see said $5.99.
And y'all charging $1 for bags.
What are we talking about? For plastic bags, like grocery bags, $1 for a
can't
grocery.
Get no bags.
What are we talking about? Anywho, all right, let's change the subject. We talked about all of that. Let's go back to faith and your relationship in Jesus. So, at the very beginning of the conversation, I think you mentioned what it is that you do professionally.
Yep.
Can you repeat that just in case?
Yeah, I'm a financial analyst for a residential real estate company.
Yeah, okay. So you have like a bigger job for real, like a big bread type thing. okay, so yeah, how has your faith influenced how you operate and conduct yourself and view other people in your work environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question because I work remote, but I was actually in the headquarters last week for a conference. So it was probably my first time having to put that into practice. Mm-hmm. And the main thing that I thought of last week, as a society, we're becoming more open in a lot of areas. Like, corporate America is a lot different than it was probably when our parents and grandparents were starting to work. So with that, a lot of people are open about a lot of things. And the main thing that I took away is if other people are comfortable being open about the variety of things that they like to do and mm-hmm. their lifestyles, why can't I be open about my faith?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the main thing. And since then, since last week, what God has been working through me and showing me through scripture is how to do that. And I think people always go to like saying scripture and like just talking about scripture in conversations at work and stuff. And I think that if that's what you want to do, that can be part of it. But I think the main thing is just being a good person in those spaces. So like me, I want to be the person that people feel comfortable going to for help. And I feel like that's a way that I can show the light of Jesus, just being a helpful person. Yeah, I feel like that's the main thing. Like, with me being remote, like, that's the best way for me to be able to show it. Like, being helpful, being kind, being encouraging, that type of thing. And, yeah.
No, that's dope. Because I think a lot of people do struggle with realizing the different ways that God can use their career to glorify God. Like, it's very hard for non-athletes or anybody that isn't basically using their image to promote God, where they have a little bit more freedom, but they're literally in corporate America.
Exactly. So like, y'all do post-game.
Yeah.
Post-game interviews and stuff where you can dive more into your personal life, mm-hmm. and that's not really something that really comes up at work. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing. And there was like a little small thing that I did. I don't think anybody really noticed, but it kind of felt good to me. I have this pencil bag that says God is always with me. And because I was at a conference, I was taking notes and stuff. So I would just have the pencil bag with me. It's not a big thing, but it's just like, that was another way I was representing.
Okay. That's dope. So in addition to kind of in between your career and your personal time with God, you have brought us a gift today, and you've recently been spending time extracurricularly to hear from someone who is, I guess, has been more mature in their faith and has been in their faith longer. So that's where we're, I guess, just going to plug this book, very useful tool that Patrice has brought here today to show everyone, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. This has been an incredible book for a lot of people, and Patrice recently has picked it up and wanted to share some stuff with us. So,
I'm on chapter 5, and pretty much what the book is talking about is that the main thing that the devil uses as his method of working through the earth is offense. So us being offended by other people. And where I am in the book, he talks about there's two categories of people. People who have been offended and people who believe that they have been offended. And kind of talking about different experiences with both throughout the book and tying it back to scripture. And the biggest thing for me that I've taken away from the book and I've been thinking about before this is grace with other people. The biggest thing that's come to my head is like, let's think about our parents. So growing up, we probably all have had something that's either traumatic or something that like we wish didn't happen, or just like encounters with our parents.
Yeah.
And in that, once we're older and with the guidance of the Spirit, is realizing that we have to have a level of grace with our family. In this example, specifically talking about parents, but it goes even beyond that with like friends, siblings, just people we encounter on a daily basis. Just giving people grace because it's all our first time out here.
Yeah.
We have not done this before. So just because someone is 40, 50, 60 years into their life doesn't mean they have it all figured out. So just being able to have grace with people and take a step outside of ourselves. That's what the book talks about a lot too, that when we're offended by something that someone has said or done, we're only focusing on what we think, what we hear. We're not taking a step outside of ourselves to look at other people and asking ourselves, well, maybe this person just had a bad day. Maybe there's something else going on that's causing them to respond or act in a certain way. So yeah, that's the main thing that it's been teaching me, and I'm excited to continue on because that already has shifted my mindset when I'm encountering people that I'm not gonna jump first to me. And you know, since we've been talking about like our marriage and stuff, I think that that's a part of marriage too, like just taking a step outside of yourself to see somebody else and what they're feeling. So
for sure. Yeah, that you reminded me of a question I wanted to ask earlier, which was when you said that you practiced being self-aware. I think it's very important for everyone to know the difference between self-awareness and self-consciousness. And you basically just defined it in what you just said. Self-awareness is understanding who you are, your mannerisms, your habits, your triggers. But self-consciousness, like you just described, is essentially projecting your own insecurity, your own offendedness, and putting that onto other people and framing it that they're viewing you through that lens that you're really only viewing yourself through. So yeah, that's a massive, I think that's going to free a lot of people understanding that there is a difference between self-awareness and self-consciousness. So be practicing that in, be practicing that in everything has helped me start to recognize that most of the time people don't have beef with me for real. People don't just hate me. Like it's really me not feeling as confident as I think I am in my identity in Christ, which obviously is
a development. It's a journey.
It's a journey for real. We're never gonna know the full depth and wisdom of God's love. Like it's he's fully boundless. So there's no way we're gonna know it on this side of eternity.
Yeah. And I was gonna add something else that you just said reminded me of something else that the book talks about is how when we're offended and looking at ourselves, that ends up impacting how we view God. Let me pull up my notes. There's something that I exactly wrote on this. Don't let past hurts, rejection, and experiences control my thoughts because it harms my ability to believe God, see his goodness and faithfulness. I began to look at things in a fleshly human way instead of a godly way.
That's bars.
Yeah.
That's facts. Yeah, we get so caught up in our past trauma and our experiences that we can't, we kind of blind ourselves from seeing how God can use a similar situation to heal us from it.
Yeah.
A lot of times people have to just sit in and go through the things that hurt them in order to be healed on the other side of it. I think it was John Bevere talking about that he very much disliked this man who had harmed him.
Yeah, it was about this, it helped him write this book.
That's what, so he was emotionally wounded and he held resentment in his heart for this man and dealt with it for years, just truly did not like him, and then came around and ended up having a conversation with him. And the other guy didn't even know he harmed him. He didn't know he offended him or anything, and immediately apologized. And because John confronted that situation completely and entirely and vulnerably, he was able to find reconciliation with the other guy and healing within himself. So
yeah,
that's amazing. We can't run from the things that hurt us. And I think that's definitely something that our generation struggles with quite a bit. That offense, like, that is definitely a word for Gen Z and probably anybody alive right now, but Gen Z, we take offense to the next level. We are very quick to kick anyone out of our lives that makes us even the mildest bit uncomfortable, for sure.
Yeah. And it just made me kind of sad, like, remembering, like, what he said about the guy not knowing, because how many people in our lives don't know that they've done something to hurt us because we're holding resentment and not having the important conversations that we need to have.
Yeah.
That just it's made me sad because, like, there are so many relationships that probably can be healed, whether it's family, friends, or even marriages, if people have the conversation and are willing to open up about what they feel have offended them and get some clarity on it.
That's facts. Absolutely. We're going to be wrapping it up here. Last question before we give any final thoughts. You obviously picked up a book that's outside of the Bible.
Yep.
Some people would say that all they need is the Bible. All they need is the Word of God and a prayer life. But you felt it necessary that for your life, for your walk, that you seek wisdom from another person that's here on the earth with us right now. So what led you to that, and why do you think that, or do you think that other people should? And how has this affected you, spending time with extra biblical sources that definitely agree with the Word?
Yeah, I think that trying to figure out how to put it into words. I think it's very helpful for application purposes and seeing someone else's experiences, because with something like offense, when I picked up the book and saw what it was about, like, I just heard the name of the book and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I didn't know that it was talking about offense. You don't really think about that in your life. Like, you don't think about how you being offended impacts multiple aspects of your life. So to tie that to the question, I think that having extra biblical sources will help us see things in ourselves in different topics that we may not encounter daily, or see that they apply to see that some of the scriptures apply to those areas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like somebody else who's been in the faith for longer than us and has likely experienced some similar things that we have can give us basically a how-to guide, how to apply the Word into our actual lives by them living as an example.
Because I didn't know that I was in that trap of offense until reading the first chapter and seeing what it means and hearing the scriptures in it, but also thinking back to just different aspects of my life. So
yeah, that's dope. Any final thoughts you would like to share with the people?
Any final thoughts? We didn't really touch on this, but I think that something that has been helpful for me, and I actually had a friend recently ask me about it, something that's helped grow my relationship with God is consistency. So just leaving people with a tip. If you want to grow your relationship with God, show up and try to spend time with him daily. Because I remember before January of 2023, like, I would ask one of my friends, like, pretty often, like, I just don't understand the Bible. How do y'all know all these stories of the Bible? And he was like, just read it. And I didn't take that advice at the time. It took me probably a year, 2 years before I actually did. But spending time in the Word is the best way to grow intimacy in your relationship with God, and put yourself on a consistent schedule of doing it, whether it's waking up in the morning and going through the scriptures, or when you get off work in the evening, or while you're at the gym, you're putting on the audio version of the Bible. Just find some way to be in relationship with God consistently, because we do it for other people. We call our friends, we text our friends, we text our family. A relationship with God is the same way. You can't have a relationship with somebody if you're not talking to them. So that's what I want to leave it on.
That's a bar. Very last thing. What is first thing that pops in your head, the most recent thing God has revealed himself in to you?
Revealed himself in?
Mm-hmm. Anything. TV, media, book, film, Funko Pops, clothes, anything.
I mean, this is it's an easy question, but it's an obvious, the answer is obvious, but we've been watching The Chosen because they just put out season 4. And if you haven't seen season 4, this is a spoiler. Click off if you don't want to hear the spoiler.
It's in the Bible, so technically that's been out for 2,000-ish years. So.
Well, this isn't in the, what I'm talking about. I don't think it's in the Bible.
Oh, no, the ring.
But yeah, it's one of the episodes. One of the disciples of the woman that he was about to marry, she ends up getting killed by a Roman official. That story isn't anywhere in the Bible. The Chosen is a historical drama, so there is some stuff that's added for TV, but the basis truly is the scriptures, the gospels specifically, and they touch a little bit on the Old Testament to connect to the gospels. But one of the disciples, Thomas, the woman that he was about to marry, she ends up passing away, and the episode from there and the next episode after it is really talking about grief and what that looks like, and it doesn't apply to me right now, very thankful for that, but just grief is a process that we're all gonna have to go through, unfortunately, in this life. So yeah, just seeing the conversations and the way that the TV shows portray it has been where I've seen God, that like God uses the people in our lives to comfort us in those times. And it's very important that we have community to be able to help us through those hard times. I think that I actually wrote this in my notes a few weeks ago, that God is present in the ways that seem simple to us. Mm-hmm. So something like grief, like, when something like that happens, I think we just want them to be resurrected. We want them to be healed. We don't think about, because we're in pain, that like God is showing up by having a spouse next to us, having a friend next to us to comfort us through that. So
for sure. Patrice, thank you for your time today.
You're so dramatic.
Thank you for talking to my family on the other side of the screen. Thank you for being an incredible wife. You are the reason this podcast exists. 100, well, not 100, because God. But
yeah.
You are the hands and feet of this podcast, and I want everybody to know that. So thank you for being dope. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for your obedience to God. And yeah, so for moving forward, we are starting something new in this episode, but we are going to have our benediction. A benediction is what would happen in the church in ancient times, when it would essentially be a prayer of asking God's blessings over the person hearing and receiving the prayer. So in that way, me praying for you guys as you go on to live your life till next week, till we meet again, I just want to cover you and intercede for you however I can. So the benediction will come from Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. And if you're just listening and not reading along, you can just drop your head as a prayer here. And yeah, it's verse 16 says, "I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Family, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. This is only part one of MJ and Patrice. We're going to have a lot of parts of this for sure. And I hope this conversation was edifying.